wireless too.
Our scripture today comes from Genesis 21, 1 through 7. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him, as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. And she added, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. Please pray with me. Lord God, help us turn our hearts to you and hear what you will speak. For you speak peace to your people through Christ our Lord. Amen.
On Sunday mornings together, we're thinking about how do we change the scorecard? Because sometimes in our lives, in church life, we get caught up in numbers and counting numbers. And I believe that God calls us to think about relationships and not about numbers. Relationships that are causing us to love well. And the quality of the relationships is more important than the quantity of relationships. It's not about the numbers. It's not like, well, I have 950 friends on Facebook. Well, good for you. You probably never talked to any one of them face-to-face. And so we're talking about face-to-face relationships. We're talking about loving well here and in our community and in our jobs. That's what we're talking about. Loving well. And we've seen so far that involves encouragement, coming alongside each other to encourage and strengthen. We've seen that it involves humble service, where we not necessarily literally wash each other's feet, but we humbly serve each other in practical ways. Last week we saw that it involves moving towards someone's pain. When people are hurting, we don't pass by on the other side. We come alongside to help and to heal. And today I want us to think about joyful laughter and how that's a very important quality of a group of people that's loving well, that's in relationship. But I want us to understand what it is, because I think we can misunderstand it and totally miss what joyful laughter is from a scripture standpoint. In fact, the Natural Church Development, which is a group of people that studied churches worldwide, big churches, small churches, worldwide, and churches that were healthy, there was laughter. And that laughter, I believe, is born out of a trust in a big God. A big God who loves us. And because we've experienced that love of God, this big God who loves us, we're able to love each other, trust each other, and to enjoy each other's company where there's laughter. Isn't that what happens when we enjoy each other's company? Oftentimes there's laughter. It's not derisive laughter. It's not the laughter of the world. It's just the joy of being together as a body or a family. And so we're going to think about that today, because there are different kinds of laughter. And in fact, we see some of those different kinds of laughter in Scripture. And we see that we're going to look entirely at the life of Abraham and Sarah, because there's three times that they laugh. And each of the times is different. So, scene one of them is in Genesis 17. Abram is 99 years old. And the Lord appears to him. And he says, I'm going to change your name to Abraham. You're going to be the father of many nations. Be fruitful and multiply. I mean, seriously. I mean, you know, this is almost, there's a little humor here already. Because Abraham's 99. You know, and it says, the Lord continues, and your wife Sarai, who from now on will be called Sarah, I will bless her. She will be pregnant and deliver a son. She's 89, 10 years younger. And what does Abraham do? Does he say, oh, yes, Father, I believe. Now, he packed up and left when God said to go to a different country. He did that. He left his homeland. But here, at age 99, did Abraham say, yes, I believe? No, it tells us that he fell down. This is the words from Scripture. He fell down on the ground and laughed. He fell down on the ground and laughed. No way this is going to happen. Can a son be born to a man 100 and a woman 90? And there's unbelieving laughter here. It just can't happen. It's not going to happen. And it becomes cynical. And it becomes cynical in our lives when we only look at ourselves. When we only look at ourselves and not who God is. This big God. Of course he couldn't have a baby. Of course. Paul says in the book of Romans that Abraham and Sarah were as good as dead. As good as dead. And they're going to have a baby. And sometimes that's the way we can get with problems that we face in our personal life, the problems that we face in our church life, our body life. We begin to think, oh man, we're as good as dead. These problems are so big. So big. And when we make our problems so big, we make God so small. So small. Just the opposite of what Scripture calls us to do, that God is big. And people are small. And we come believing. We come believing because this is the God who made the stars and the sun and the moons and the clouds so big. When I run in the morning, as I often do, I like to exercise in the morning. I'm a pre-dawn exerciser, if I can be. And that's getting easier now. And you know, you look up and someday, this past week, that one day, the moon was orange in the morning. And the stars and the clouds. And you begin to think about it. The God who made that and holds that made me and knows me by name. And so that problem I'm facing becomes pretty small when you see how big God is. And it's almost like it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Because you see, when we're anxious, when we're nervous, when there's anxiety in our life, we think everything's going to fall apart because my life is falling apart and I don't know what's going on. When we think that, our laughter becomes cynical laughter. It's kind of a nervous laughter. But when we trust that God has it, the joy that we feel in our heart is a joyful laughter as it comes forth. And so, that's one example. Scene two is kind of almost the same thing because not long after that, Abraham was sitting by his tent in the heat of the day. This is in Genesis 18. An angel showed up and Abraham busied himself wanting to be a good host and get some things ready for them. And in the conversation, one of them says to Abraham, next year at this time, your wife Sarah will have a son. And Sarah, realizing guests had come, was at the tent entrance listening. And she was old and well advanced in years, we're told in Scripture. Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. And it says that Sarah laughed to herself. After I am worn out and Abraham is old, now I will have a baby? She asks. And it's the laughter again of disbelief, of cynicism. And one of the visitors is there and asks, well, why did Sarah laugh? She said, I didn't laugh. Oh, yeah, you did. Is anything too hard for the Lord? What a powerful question. Is anything too hard for the Lord? The problem you might be facing in your life, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? So often, you know, we make people big. We make our problems big. And God, small. Little. And the Scriptures call us repeatedly to make God big. And people small. And in fact, in Isaiah 40:22, the passage I read for the call to worship this morning, God says that people are like grasshoppers. Like grasshoppers. God is big. People are small. Problems are small. If God is small, faith is weak. And there can be that unbelieving, cynical laughter. But then we come to the passage for today in Genesis 21. God was gracious. Sarah became pregnant at age 89 and bore a son. God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about it will laugh with me, she says. This is different. This is joy-filled, faith-filled, trusting, gut-busting laughter filled with joy. It's a laughter born of trust, based in who God is. A big God, a great God. And the delight of Abraham and Sarah was in a God, first of all, who is faithful to His promises. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as He had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what He had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised. At the very time God promised. Has God made a promise to you? The Bible is filled with promises. In fact, someone who counted said that there's 5,467 promises in the Scripture that God has made. Promises that God has made to you. If we would take one promise a day, it would take a long time to go through them all and to claim them and to live in that. God is a promising God. He's faithful to those promises. He keeps them, and we laugh with joy at their fulfillment. But we also see something else in this passage about our big God, is that God is all-powerful. Nothing is too hard for Him. Three times in this passage, Abraham's age is emphasized. In verse 2, it says, bore a son to Abraham in his old age. In verse 5, it says, Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And in verse 7, it says, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children, yet I have borne him a son in his old age? Humanly speaking, there was no possibility at all. But with God, all things are possible. God can do this. You know, sometimes in our unbelief, we think that God can't do this. God doesn't care about me. I'm alone in this. I'm alone in this problem I face, this difficulty in my life. I'm all by myself. But the promise of God is that He is with you. Jesus, in fact, in the verses that I read in baptism this morning where Jesus declared that we are to baptize and make disciples, he also says, surely I'm with you to the very end of the age. I'm with you until the very end. I'm with you till I come back again, and I'm still with you then. I am with you every second of your life. I'm with you. And we might say, no, the problem is too big, or the people who oppose me are too strong, or I'm too old. Well, we're never too old for God to do a new thing in us. I'm not saying we're going to have children at 8, 90 and 100, but there can be new life. There can be new ideas, new spiritual enthusiasm, a new place that God wants us to serve, to give. God is stronger than any opposition, any problem. Sometimes I think it's like David and Goliath. When Goliath is so big, he's so huge. And we have a tendency to be like that when we think of other people and we think of problems. We see those problems so big, so huge, that there is no way that we can beat him. There's no way that we can defeat this. And we need the faith of David, who comes and says, wow, really, he's too big for me to miss. I can't miss him. I'll hit him. You know, that's the kind of faith that we're called to have. Because David knew he had a big God that was a lot bigger than the giant Goliath. And he defeated him. God is all powerful. God is faithful to his promises. But here's the thing. And it's this third piece that we see in here that can create this unbelief in our life. Because God's in no hurry in carrying out his promises. We want now. We want the promise to be fulfilled now. We don't want to have to wait. But God's in no hurry to carry out his promises. And if God doesn't do it right now for me, it must mean that he never will. And that's just simply not true. Notice what it says in verse 2. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the very time God had promised him. The very time. And Abraham and Sarah might have said, you know, it'd have been nice, Sarah, you know, if Sarah was 40 and I was 50, that'd have been much better than this 90 and 100 thing. But the hardest thing for us to face as believers is the delay. The spiritual discipline of delay. We know we have God's promise. We know that God is all powerful. And yet we wait. There's a delay. And we're called in that time of delay to trust. To trust God. His timing is perfect. So how do we respond to that? When we think of joyful laughter, and we think of that as being such an important part, really, in loving well, is that we do have incredible worth as people. I talk about that a lot. Scripture talks about that a lot. We are children of God. We're created in his image. We are loved by Jesus Christ. Jesus calls us friends. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. And even when we sin, Jesus died for us. I mean, there's incredible worth in our lives. Incredible worth. And yet, we are small. We are small. It's interesting. It's interesting that in the scriptures we're not called lions or eagles or bears or oxes, you know, big, strong animals. We're called grasshoppers and sheep. Which is kind of funny when you think about it. We are grasshoppers and sheep. Incredible worth, but just sheep. Because we have a big God who carries the world. Pope John Paul, one night, was telling about an experience he had one night. He couldn't sleep. He was so stressed and anxious about all the things that he was responsible for and all the things that he had to do and all of the problems in the world. And he was just really anxiously sleeping. Sometimes you can do that, actually sleeping, but we're anxious and we wake up and we feel like we haven't slept at all. And you're just a bundle of anxiety and nerves as you sleep. And he said, as I was sleeping, it's as I had a dream. And that God came to me in my dream, and he said, lighten up, Johnny boy. Lighten up, Johnny boy. Here, let me take the world off your shoulders. I got it. I got it. You know, sometimes we need that, don't we? Sometimes I think we began to take the whole weight of the world on our shoulders, and we began to think that we're the ones that can handle that, and we need God to come alongside us and say, hey, lighten up. Here, let me take that. I got it. It's not too heavy for me. To remember who we are. As Isaiah said, we're like grasshoppers. Sometimes when you see people strutting and huffing and puffing, we have to remember that in God's eyes, just grasshoppers. We even see that with world leaders who think they're so important and everything is going on and they think the world revolves around them, and yet they're just grasshoppers compared to God and who He is. And we're sheep. Sheep are important. You know, that's how people raised got their wool, that's how they got meat, that's how they got milk, that's the sacrifices for the temple were sheep. Sheep are very important. Doesn't mean we're not important when he calls us sheep. He just knows that we're not very good at taking care of ourselves. Like sheep are. They're wayward. They get lost easily. They're witless. They're just plain dumb at times. They're weak. They have no way to protect themselves. And they need a shepherd. They need a shepherd. We need a shepherd. We need a God who cares for us. A God who gives us wisdom. A God who guides and directs us so we don't get lost so easily. And so we're sheep. We have to laugh at ourselves. You see, there becomes a problem when we become so serious and so anxious about life that we can't even smile or laugh. There's a problem in that. Because it's as if God isn't even there, and if God is there, He's not very happy with me. And so I'm just going to be really nervous and anxious, and I can't laugh because I'm so anxious, and I have so much to do and so many things, and I'm so important. And God is saying, no, you're important, all right. You're important, all right. But I got it. And you're a sheep. You're a sheep. I mean, sometimes, let's be serious. Blessed are those who learn to laugh at themselves. They'll never cease to be amused. Really. I mean, I've gotten in the vehicle and I've gone to the four-way stop there in Sioux Center by Casey's, and I'm standing there. And the light turns and I have no idea what I was going to do. So you just turn somewhere hoping it'll come to you what you're out to do. I came to that same corner one day and the light was red. I was going to go left. I stopped. I turned. Sue looked at me and goes, what's this? Turn left on red? I go, oh. I did. Or some of you were very clear with that when I was bending down to unplug my computer and I hit my head and I cut my head wide open and I had consistory that night, which was a real joy. You have to explain to all the consistory members why you got this thing across your forehead where you bend down and you bust your head wide open. We're sheep. We're sheep. So one little joke. What do you get when you cross a sheep with a porcupine? You get an animal that can knit its own sweater. Just a little one. Blessed are those. who learn to laugh at themselves, they'll never cease to be amused. Because you see, God is a big God. He's a big God. And He's faithful to His promises. He's all powerful, but He's not in a hurry like we are. And we're called to trust Him, to believe. And when we do, there's this joy that just wells up in us because we know that we're loved, we're cared for, He's given us promises, and it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. God is big. We are small. We can rest and we can laugh. Oh, and by the way, Isaac's name means laughter. His name means laughter. Oh, the joy.